Hooday, Bengal fans. He is Mon somewhere there.
Can you hear me?
Hey, I can hear you. We can't see you, but I can hear you.
It's coming. It's coming.
All after, right.
After last night and what happened, the meltdown, my computer's messing up.
Okay. There we go. Oh. He is Mon. He is Justin. I am Jake. We are live for the start of round three, which is coming up here in a couple of minutes. The Bengals, guys, just made their second round selection. And interesting enough, five of the last 18 Bengals drafted come from the University of Michigan this year with the second round pick. The Bengals select defensive tackle Chris Jenkins from the national champion Michigan Wolverines. This is a guy who has a football lineage in the NFL, a guy that I know, Justin, you had talked about in our last show, and I'm going to let you talk about him first. Guys, a good pick here. I think a solid pick. Mon, you got to be happy because the Bengals are trench, just like you were hoping for. Justin, talk to us a little bit about Chris Jenkins, this defensive tackle from the University of Michigan.
Yeah, well, if you're old enough to remember his father, Chris Jenkins, he was one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL over a 3 or 4 year period there. He was as good as they come. The son, Junior, younger Chris Jenkins, is not quite as big as his father was, because I think his father ran about 6'4", 3". He was listed at 350, but he was probably closer to 370. But man, I mean, he could move for a big guy. And while the son is not as quite as big, he is a very athletic prospect. I think we saw his RAS score was 8.99, and
yes,
that is very, very athletic for a defensive tackle. You're talking about a guy who's runs a sub 5:40, long arms, 34-inch arms. So, in terms of physical gifts, I think Chris Jenkins is going to be a welcome presence. I think when you look at where the Bengals went with him over a guy like Mike Hall, who went a few picks later to the Browns. And Mon was just mentioning this too. I think Chris Jenkins gives you a little more balance in terms of ability to play the run and also potential for pass rush. And really, that's what Jenkins gives you, where, we thought that Byron Murphy might have been the guy at 18 had he not went to the Seahawks two picks earlier. Jenkins is about as close as you can get in terms of having to wait another round to acquire a defensive tackle. He is going to give you, I think, good balance. He is not going to be that massive one technique nose tackle presence in the middle of the defensive line, but he's going to be a really nice addition. He has the potential to be a nice pass rusher for the Bengals, and he fills a huge need. This is a really nice pick.
Well, again, go ahead, Mon. I want you to talk a little bit about this, because obviously this is kind of in your wheelhouse. This is a position of need for the Bengals and a position that you were looking at. So, Mon, tell us your thoughts about Chris Jenkins and what you think about this second round pick by the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm harping since the season ended about the trenches, and they've attacked him the first two picks in this draft. Justin nailed it right on the head. I'm happy with the pick. Is he flashy as a pass rusher? I think he's still developing that part of his game. He's good against the run. Dane Brugler, I think, had him rated 36 on his big board. So the Bengals getting him at 49 is great value.
Yes.
And again, some people in the chat, I respectfully disagree. He's not Zach Carter 2.0. Zach Carter was a defensive end at Florida. They're trying to make a defensive tackle. Totally separate, different, Jenkins played defensive tackle his whole career at Michigan. It's a needed position for the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, he's not going to be a DJ Reader. He's not that big, but they needed bodies there. And his specialty, he was a very well-rounded player. Excellent analysis by Justin. He was good at against the run. He flashed rushing the quarterback. Good, solid pick. Jake, last week we had Jeff Hobson on. I know I've said this a few times already. He talked about everybody always wanting a home run pick. This is a good, safe pick for the Bengals. It's a double, like he said. It's okay to hit doubles. And I think Chris Jenkins is that guy. He's going to be a long-term contributor for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I'm glad he's on the team.
Well, I want to go back to what Justin said, because I think Justin, too, hit it on the head. The Bengals not only go trenches, but they go crazy with these guys in the trenches that are just have these incredible RAS scores. Obviously, Mims in the first round. I'm feeling a little bit better about the Mims thing. I've had some time to reflect. I am feeling a little bit better about the Mims thing. But I'm going to be honest with you.
Rotation works, huh?
This Chris Jenkins pick, again, like you said, I think this is a value pick for the Bengals. As Justin said, this guy is about 300 pounds, so not the same size as his dad, but he's one of the strongest players in this draft. Dane Brugler talked about that, as you said. I mean, he was 36 on his big board. Vertical of 30 inches. Again, this guy's 300 pounds. What's really incredible is a sub 540 at 4.91 is pretty incredible for a 300-pound man. Obviously, you see Mims at 340. The Bengals take him in the first round. He's at a 5. Was he a 502, I think, on the 40? 507, maybe? Yeah, 507. So, I mean, these guys are athletic, incredibly athletic, big men. Jenkins known more for his ability to stop the run. I think he had 37, 40 tackles somewhere around there. He only had 3 or 4 sacks. But, again, if you watched Lou Anarumo's press conference after the pick, he talked about, you know, we feel good about when you draft a defensive tackle, you want to make sure that it's a guy that can play the run, that's a guy that can be on the field for all three downs. And I think a lot of people, at least a lot of the draft experts, talk about that with Chris Jenkins. Is not only is he probably one of the most pro-ready defensive tackles, but he's a guy that can maybe be on the field for three downs. This guy started out as an edge rusher, and they moved him inside. That's how athletic this guy is. So hopefully Luke can work on the pass rushing. But again, a guy that can stop the run. Not that nose tackle, Justin, like you talked about, that some were hoping for. But again, a guy that I think fits this rotation. And again, it's a value pick, right, guys? I mean, best player available. If he can play right now, if you're telling me this guy is pro ready, then that tells me he can make an impact right away, right?
Yeah, Blake Fisher just got picked by the Texans.
Blake Fisher off the board, the offensive tackle, correct?
Yes.
So you know, let's talk about as we get into the third round here, guys. Let's talk about this second round and how it kind of worked itself out. It kind of an interesting second round. We saw a lot of trades. Again, I had made a board of 5, my top 5 guys I wanted, and they were gone within the first 8 picks. So yeah. That second round was pretty brutal for me in the beginning. Obviously, you had the run on receiver. I think you kind of saw that toward the end of the first round with the last couple picks at receiver, and then there's a big run. Obviously, Ladd goes early, a guy that I really liked. But you see that run of receiver, and then it flips over and you see a run of corner. And, you know, that's just kind of how the draft works. Defensive tackle thrown in there. So let's talk a little bit about, I want to get each of your opinion on this second round so far, and not only the trades, but how we saw kind of a run on certain positions, right? We saw the run at receiver, then it was defensive tackle, then it was corner. Talk a little bit about that, guys. And, you know, I want to get your thoughts on that and the trades. I mean, the crazy trades.
Does anybody know? I'm just trying to research here. Has TJ Tampa been drafted?
I have not. I have not seen that.
Okay. You know, we were texting at the beginning of the first round. Run on wide receivers. Keon Coleman to the Bills. I think that's a great pick. You started seeing those wide receivers, like even the Pearsall went 31st, I believe. You started seeing that. And then didn't the Chiefs draft a wide receiver also?
They drafted a kid from Texas, right?
We had three consecutive picks that were wide receivers. It's just funny how that happens. You just see a rash. I'm jumping around, Jake. Zach Frazier is one of my favorite players in this draft. I'm a West Virginia fan. He's a great player. Going to the Steelers, not going to like that. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Steelers really attacking that offensive line with Frazier, Fautanu. Last year they got who's the guy from Georgia? They got one of their tackles there. So they're really investing heavily in that offensive line. It's been interesting. It's been a fast developing second round. We still have two more picks, 80 and 97. Those are really premium picks. Four picks in the top 100. The Bengals can make a big dent here. Jake, I know you want a skill position player. I guarantee you one of those two. Broderick Jones. I guarantee you the tackle, the Steelers pick last year. I guarantee you one of the next two picks for the Bengals will be a wide receiver. Malachi Corley, I would like to see him from Western Kentucky. If he hasn't been picked already, if he has, I'm sorry, guys. Let us know if he has, maybe.
No, he's number three on Mel's.
Mel Kiper really talks him up. That would be a good get. And I know he visited the Bengals. He's one of the 30 visits. That's a name to look for, Jake. Malachi Corley, potentially at 80. And I can see a cornerback also, maybe one of those last two picks.
Yeah. So the run on D tackles definitely put a damper on what we were maybe thinking for the Bengals in terms of maybe getting Johnny Newton there. But Chris Jenkins is a really nice pick. It was interesting because – a guy we've really talked a lot about was Devondre Sweat. A lot of speculation he could drop maybe in the fourth round, and he went very early in the second.
Yeah, they don't care about that. They don't care about that stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
Jay Morrison's tweet was a classic, man.
Yeah, he said his DWI moved him up the draft board.
Yeah.
He was joking, everybody.
But, but when you look at the top 15 defensive tackle prospects. The only one that was really that kind of one tech nose tackle type prospect, big body in the middle, was Sweat. So once he comes off the board, you really got to start looking more at either a tremendous pass rusher, which, another guy we had talked about, Brandon Fisk, was already off the board a couple picks. I think maybe the pick after Sweat. So that really left kind of, some good options off the board. But the Bengals were able to get Chris Jenkins, which I think is a really nice pick. And, Jake, I'm with you. You got two picks now. You've addressed the trenches on both sides, and you've gotten two really athletic prospects who still probably have some potential and some upside to dig into and try to get these guys up and, get them at a higher level, playing at a higher level than they did in college. Still kind of scratching the surface of their ability. So, Cole Bishop to the Bills.
Okay. Yeah, I had Mox hit. That's like a little bit of a reach to me, but it is what it is.
And Mark, I believe that Polk already has come off the board.
Yes, he got drafted, I think, right after first five picks in that round.
Yeah, it was. He was one of the guys I actually liked, the other receiver from Washington. I can't remember where he got picked, but he got picked early on in the second round. He kind of went with that run of receivers.
I had him in the second, my final mock. I just wanted to throw that out there. And also had Chris Jenkins.
I think
we really did 12 mocks. I think we've all taken everyone in the draft.
You've done 75 mock drafts, Mon. You have to at least get somebody right. This second round, you know, we talked about it last week. This is really the sweet spot of this draft. Do you guys see the Bengals possibly moving up back to the very bottom? I mean, we got to be getting close to the bottom of this thing. Or do they move up higher in the third? Or do they stand pat? I know, Mon, you don't want to see them trade up at this point. You like the four picks in the in that top 100. What do you think?
Justin, what do you think? You think they're going to move up potentially in the second round? There's no way.
I don't
think they'll do it. I think
it's not their MO.
If you get four players in the top 100, that's gold. That is really gold. I did see some tweets, you know, when you had three trades in a row. Would it be nice to see the Bengals do that if they want to target a player? Yeah, but, you know, I don't want them to trade just to trade. If there's somebody there that's worth getting, by all means do it. But, you know, the Bengals are a conservative organization. But, you know, Sam Wilder, I saw in the chat there, I didn't realize Jenkins was number six on Feldman's freak list. Did you know that, Justin?
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody has referred to him as the mutant. That's his nickname. Because he is, they all say this guy is a freak of nature. Again, when you look at both of these trench players the Bengals have drafted, I think you could say that about both of these guys. I mean, they are both big, big presences that are very athletic. And the thing about Chris Jenkins, again, I know we want interior pass rush. I've talked about it until I'm just blue in the face, but I will say this, that PFF ranked Chris Jenkins in the 99th percentile for run stuffers in college football. Again, you're talking about a Bengals team, Mon, and we talked about this when the season ended, a Bengals team that gave up almost 160 yards rushing a game. As much as we want that pass rush from the interior of the defensive line, we have got to be able to stop the run, do we not, gentlemen?
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's why I think Jenkins was a pick over someone like Mike Hall, who, while off the charts athletic, is 10 pounds lighter and just doesn't hold up at the point of attack quite like Jenkins does. So I really like the balance with Jenkins. You got an athletic guy who, while not super productive in college as a pass rusher, has some potential there, still the tap, where maybe he's not going to be Aaron Donald. Maybe he's not going to give you 10, 12 sacks a year, but will give you some pass rushing ability from the interior. Will give you more than he did at the college level, but also be stout against the run. And that's important. And you're absolutely right, Jake. We have to be better than we were last year in that regard. And Jenkins 100% helped that.
Well, Jake, I mean,
Let you know, the Bengals really like his teammate, wide receiver, Roman, what's his name? Roman Wilson. They love
him. Roman Wilson. Yeah, Roman Wilson. Yeah.
He's a Michigan player. If he's there at 80, potentially, they could get him. I will say this. I just want to throw a wide receiver name out. I know you love skilled position players. Justin, you're an SEC guy. I don't really follow it as much as I should. Jermaine Burton.
Yes.
Now, they're saying he's a freak athlete, but he's a knucklehead. Is that true? I mean,
well, he did transfer from
Alabama.
Georgia to Alabama last year, which was kind of an interesting decision. And I think he had it. There was I want to say there was some sort of incident. Rosengarten just went to the Ravens.
Oh, God.
Go ahead, go ahead, Jason. What you're saying.
Yeah, no, Burton is a big time athlete, and yeah, that would be a really nice pick. I think we talked about him at one point. I feel like he came up in a mock draft, or someone asked about him during one of our draft shows. But yeah, he's a definitely a nice, well rounded vertical threat on the outside.
Yeah, I've read he's a phenomenal talent, but what teams are afraid of is his been an attitude problem. He's had disciplinary issues, and teams don't want to deal with it. But he could drop. Jay Morrison loves Roman Wilson. He had him mocked at 49. If he's there at 80, I could see that happening. I really think 80 is going to be a wide receiver. I really think that's going to be the wide receiver skill position player, but he's
Listen, I know you're going to think I'm a homer with this, but I'm a big Javon Baker fan. He's a good football player. He can stretch the field. I don't know about 80, but maybe toward the end of the third round, maybe with that 97th pick, I could see maybe the Bengals doing going with Javon Baker. Overzealous asked about Jenkins demanding double teams. That's actually something that Lou Anarumo talked about in the presser. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but Lou talked about that's the one part of his game that we got to work on is him being able to take on double teams. So Overzealous, I don't know if he would demand it, but I know Lou said it's something about his game that they need to work on. Let's also talk real quick, guys, about you talk about another receiver, Troy Franklin, is still out there as well.
Wow.
Yeah, that's another.
I'm not crazy about him. I never have. He's 6'3", about 180 pounds. He needs to put on some weight.
I think right now he's the top receiver on the big board. I don't know if that's 100% true, but the board I saw, he was top right now, still available. But, you know, those things change. I do want to talk about, too. Yeah, thank you for that, Tay. We appreciate it. I do want to talk about, too, you know, the tight end position. Sinek goes to the Commanders. We got a lot of people in the chat room talking about Theo Johnson. What are your guys' thoughts on Theo Johnson? Is that a guy maybe that you would like to see the Bengals look at here with one of these two third-round picks? Or are we past the tight end position now at this point focusing on wide receiver?
I don't think we're past it, but I don't think we'll see a tight end until tomorrow. Johnson's a Penn State kid. He's a big guy, pretty athletic. I know the Bengals really like Eric Aull, the tight end from Iowa. They brought him in for a visit. I keep on seeing little nuggets from reputable people keep on talking about him and the Bengals. I could see him maybe fourth, fifth, or sixth round. We are – Jake, remember last year was considered the best tight end draft in 20 years. Bengals didn't draft one. They signed one college undrafted free agent after the draft last year at tight end. It's just like Jeff Hobson said the other night, this offense needs three good wide receivers. Yeah. And anything else from the tight end is just gravy. That's just the way this offense is built, like it or not. And I think they will – get a tight end, but it's going to be a little later.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like one of these third-round picks will be a skill player, most likely a receiver. Probably go – I'm going to say defense with the other one, but if there's an offensive lineman that strikes their fancy, maybe they go that direction as well. Is Cooper Beebe still on the board?
No, he was Justin, I was just – I was just about to ask that. Did Cooper Beebe get drafted?
He did, early in the second. I'm going to say Zach Zenter at 97 would be nice. He would because I think he's going to be a long-term.
No, that's too early.
You think so? Zenter. Oh, I tell you, I think I would take him at 97.
Dude, he's not even going to – you can't even – no. No.
I think he's going to be a good pro.
Yeah, I do too. 97 is a lot – really early for a guy that broke his leg.
I don't know about that high third round. I mean, I think the Bengals have needs that they need to fill with you know, right now, not a red shirt guy, but you know, I had him on my last mock. I love Zach Zenter, but But I think he's more of a
day-three guy. Watch that game. It was an ugly break. But
I tell you, go back to that Iowa tight end. You can't ever go wrong with Iowa tight ends. They always seem to be pretty good pros. So, if that's a guy maybe that's sitting there, that might be an interesting interesting look for the Bengals there. Let's go back and talk about Mims. I want to say, Mon, you asked me last night to come up with some positives, and at the time I was not in the right state of mind to do that. Let me say this. You know, round two, you have the Steelers taking Frazier. I know that's your guy, Mon. They go Fuatanu in the first round. Cleveland did not have a first round pick. The Cleveland Browns did not have a first round pick. Baltimore takes Wiggins, a corner from Clemson. I will say this without a doubt. And Tay says BB is still in the draft. He says he's still on the board. So Cooper Beebe still out there, a guy that I had us mocked in the second round. But I want to talk about the AFC North so far. And that's what I want to talk about with this Mims pick. I think definitely one of the positives from last night is the Bengals won the first round when it comes to the AFC North. And I don't even think it was close. Wiggins – I don't know how he translates, but Wiggins is a 165-pound corner. He's not going to be able to cover the Bengals receivers. I will say this: the Bengals won round one when it comes to the AFC North. What are your thoughts on the first round and our divisional opponents and what they did? Obviously, Cleveland didn't have a pick, but Baltimore kind of choked there at the end of round one, which was nice to see with the Wiggins pick.
I pretty much covered it last night. I was a big Fuatanu fan. Him going to the Steelers didn't make me happy. I think they've had a great draft. They really reinforced their offensive line. Mims, we said it last night. When he plays football, he's a good football player. He's had some little nagging injuries, the ankle issue. Talent-wise, I'm not worried about it. His athleticism is off the charts. He's just got to make sure he stays on the field. Like Dave Lapham always says, the best ability is availability. He says that all the time. And you said the Browns didn't have a pick. Wiggins is a good defensive back. At one time, he was top 10 pick. You know, in some of these mocks, he dropped. The Ravens are – I was actually a little surprised because they lost three offensive linemen. Zeitler's gone. I think Stanley's gone. They lost three starters from last year. I don't know if Stanley was one of them. So I thought it would definitely go offensive line. They could still do that in the second round.
They did.
Did they?
They got Rosengarten.
That's right, Rosengarten. They got him there. And the Browns got a good player in Hall, but I'm happy with Mims. I think Mims has the potential, like we said last night, to be a long-term starter and future Pro Bowler.
Go ahead, Justin. What are your thoughts on the division?
Wiggins is a speedster. He was a productive player in college. The weight, 173 at the combine, definitely has to be a little concerning. Rosengarten, I think, maybe a little bit of a reach there at the end of round two, but filled a need for him, as he'll probably get penciled in as their starting right tackle. I do think the Steelers, I do like the two picks they made on the offensive line, especially Frazier. We all know how the Steelers have had really good luck at the center position over the years in terms of, Webster and Dawson and then Pouncey. So it'll be interesting to see if he can sort of enter, Renardo Green to the
49ers, good defensive back from Florida State. Wow.
Yeah, that's probably a little bit of a reach.
I think the kid from Rutgers going in the second round is a reach. He was drafted by somebody pretty quick. I thought he's going to go later. Something just bit me, guys, and I might have to figure out what that is. That hurt. I don't know what it was, man. It hurt. I'm sorry.
We're live. Maybe it was Justin.
The Browns, so they've only had the one pick so far. They grabbed Mike Hall, so that'll be kind of it. They'll definitely be kind of an interesting juxtaposition with Bengals going Jenkins, Browns going Hall. That'll be an interesting
debate
over the next years.
We're going to monitor
It definitely will be. It'll be interesting to see how those two pan out, and I'm sure they'll be compared to each other for a long time.
I just wanted to just make a general statement. I know I've said this on previous episodes and we were talking about it before we started recording here or going live. I know the Mims and the Jenkins pick, maybe not the sexiest thing, but it's really needed. I mean, everybody really knows that, the trenches, we needed fresh blood in there. Let's put it that way. And it's a good start. And I still expect another defensive lineman and another offensive lineman to get picked, maybe a third one. We have 10 picks. I wouldn't be surprised if we end this draft with 5 trench players out of the 10.
It could. I definitely think 4 is a number I could see. Definitely expect a bigger nose tackle type toward the latter parts of the draft. Wouldn't be surprised to go offensive line again. Maybe 3rd, 4th, 5th round. Yeah. But I like that. I agree with Mon. Like that they addressed the trenches. I don't think they reached on either of those picks. Mims was about that projected really in that, 15 to 25 range. And obviously is an off the chart physical specimen. Jenkins probably was a bit of a value pick.
Second
round.
Absolutely.
And with the run on defensive tackles kind of allowed him to sneak by and fall to us. So so far I give it a solid B. Happy with the needs they addressed, the positions they addressed, and I think they got a quality player on each side of the line of scrimmage through 2 rounds.
Jake, somebody you in your final mock, Jackson from Texas A&M.
Yeah,
hit him in the 5th, 6th round. That would be a great get. A bigger body guy. I think he's 325, 330. Yeah. That would be great. If he could come in and give them 15, 20 snaps, replacing DJ Reader, you can't. It's going to be done in waves. You're going to have multiple guys substituting in there. I would like to get somebody like him. Maybe Bordellini also, the center from Wisconsin.
Yes, Bordellini.
Maybe the 4th round. I've seen him anywhere from the 4th to the 6th round range. If he's there tomorrow, first pick, take him. And we'll see. Maybe BB slides to 80.
You know what? I'll tell you again, some time to reflect on a little time to reflect on Mims. I want to say this, something interesting that I read about today, because obviously I read a lot about him today. One thing I like is the fact that a lot of these guys are saying, listen, if Mims returned for his senior year, he's probably a top 5 pick next year. So I think that's something maybe the Bengals – looked at is, if this guy is going to be a guy that, is sitting on the bench, as far as where he projected for next year, that he would be a top 5 pick. So I think that is something that has to be taken into account with the Mims situation. Obviously, again, I'm still a little nervous about it, but I do feel a little bit better with the fact of, that this guy, he's young and, who knows? Who knows? I'm like I said, I'm feeling a little bit better about it. Not great. I'll feel a lot better if the Bengals get one of the better receivers here in the 3rd round, because I just think that is a position that needs to be addressed with the T. Higgins situation. Real quick. I want to ask you guys this, Mr. Smith here, S. Smith, ask, is there any good punt or kick returners in this draft? Is there any guys that are electric returners? Cooper DeJean, obviously the DB that went to the Eagles, probably one of the top returners in the NFL. He's obviously, you know, a highly projected. I don't know. I think I read where someone was saying he could play all five DB positions. I think more maybe of a slot corner type guy, but he was a real good kick and punt returner. Obviously, he's off the board. Justin, anyone else that you could think of right now, just off the top of your head, that might be a really good threat in the return game? Mon, you're muted. You're muted, Mon. Especially, go ahead, Justin. Start over, yeah, Justin.
Not right off the top of my head, but Dijon was definitely noted, especially for his punt return ability. So – He that'll be an interesting one to watch him at the next level, where he ends up playing and what he does. But
Kool-Aid that was drafted, the defensive back from Alabama, was a good special teams player also. I don't know remaining prospects out there. Did your guy from UCF, Baker, did he return punts or kicks? No, he didn't do that.
He was out of return, no. But, I mean, you know, maybe – I don't know. I don't know how that projects to the NFL from a, you know, day two, day three receiver. You never know how that – obviously, Chuck Sizzle right now I think is probably number one on the depth chart. Obviously had the nice punt return last year for a touchdown, but was injured a lot. And, you know, I think really what the question is from our listeners is, you know, when is the last time the Bengals have really had a threat? And it was really probably Pac-Man, right? Since they've had a threat at that position, you know, maybe Chuck Sizzle works out. I don't know. I just don't feel like the Bengal coaches are very high on him, on Charlie Jones. What do you guys think?
No, you don't think they are high on Charlie Jones?
I don't feel like that.
The injury, you know, he had the kick return against the Ravens. He was injured, missed a handful of games. I don't really think he caught his wind. If you look at Yoshivas, he's put on about 10, 15 pounds of muscle. Charlie Jones has to do the same thing. He has to get, you know, he has to get his body ready for that, for the NFL grind. I'm not giving up on him. I still think he's going to have a bright future there. And I think the Bengals are definitely going to add another wide receiver to the mix because they have to replace Tyler Boyd. And we still don't know what's happening with T. Higgins. T. Higgins will be a Bengal. And how can I word this properly? I mean, are we going to get the T. Higgins from 2 years ago? Or are we going to get the T. Higgins that's distracted, worried about a contract? I know he's not a cancer in the locker room. He's a team player. I get it. But I'm sorry, these guys that have these contract issues, it does affect them. They may not show it, but they do show it. I mean, you'll see the effects of it. Let's put it that way.
Back to the kickoff return question. I was just looking up a name that actually popped up in my mock draft from this week. Number 15 last year in kickoff returns was Tyrone Tracy from Purdue, averaging 25.5 yards per return. So
there you go.
He's fifth, sixth round projection. So former receiver who bulked up a little and played and ended up moving to running back. He's kind of a multi-purpose Swiss Army knife type player. I want to say he's closer to 5'11", 210, good speed. So that might be a name to watch later on in the draft.
I don't know if you see this, Mon, here, but S. Smith says the Jets just got Malachi Corley.
Yeah, we saw that.
Receiver again, a guy you hit the nail on the head there, Mon. He was a highly ranked receiver, it looks like, from Western Kentucky, and he goes to the Jets with the 65th overall pick. We are getting closer and closer to the Bengals' first third round pick.
Justin's guy just went off the board.
Raven Coleman just went to the Commanders, and I just want to say, we're still quite a bit to go, but from what I've seen so far, Washington has to be one of the big winners of the draft. They've done a really nice job.
I'm going to be honest with you, Justin. I'm going to agree. I'm going to say I was thinking that when they got Sennett. I think they've had the best draft so far. I really do. I mean, talk a little bit about that for a minute. But I agree with you 100%. I was thinking that when they picked Sennett because obviously they also got Newton.
They got Jaden Daniels top of the first, and you know they'll be interesting to see how he does at the next level.
Yeah.
They got the Michigan corner we've talked about, more of a nickel guy, but really, really talented. Really, even though he's a smaller guy, I mean, he packs a big punch. Sennett from Kansas State. And now they get Brandon Coleman, who is arguably the most athletic guard prospect in the draft. So, yeah, the five picks in the top, 66, 67 picks. And they've done a really nice job. They have to be really happy with their haul today.
We're staying on for at least pick 80, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. I want to say this, too, about that
Michigan corner. We'll recap pick 97 on Sunday. Go ahead.
Yes, yeah. That corner from Michigan, Justin, that you were just talking about, Saban said he thinks pound for pound he is the best player in this draft. High regards from Nick Saban, right? You don't hear that very often.
Absolutely. He reminds me of guys like Mike Hilton, like the Honey Badger. You know, sometimes those nickel corners come in that, 5'9", 5'9 and a half, 180, 185 pound size range. And they just have a lot of versatility. They come up and pop. They have good range. Sanders still, had a crazy amount of return yardage. I think he had like 240 return yards on interceptions. So he's a guy who, former receiver, gets the ball in his hands. He's got an offensive mindset. He's going to make plays happen with the ball in his hands. So I didn't really feel like he was a good fit for the Bengals, per se. Really needs more.
We got a lot of slot corners.
Yeah. But that's a really nice get for the Commanders.
I'll tell you this. I think I'll call pick 80 for the Bengals. It's going to be the guy you're talking about. It's going to be his wide receiver teammate Wilson. Roman Wilson will be the pick for the Bengals at 8.
Well, we'll see. Listen, real quick, this is kind of cool. This is a kind of cool nugget here. Maybe a sign of good things to come, but Chris Jenkins Sr. was drafted in the 2001 draft in the second round. He was pick 44. His son goes today to the Bengals at pick 49 in the second round. That's kind of crazy, right? I mean, five picks off from each other. That's crazy. Hopefully signs of good things to come for the Bengals and Chris Jenkins Jr.
Yeah, so here's a couple names. Wilson, that Mon just mentioned, definitely a good option. A few more names I'm going to throw out there. TJ Tampa is still on the board, top corner. Cooper Beebe, your top remaining offensive guard. And a guy that I'm a big fan of, not sure if the Bengals are going to look linebacker here, but Peyton Wilson from NC State still on the board as we're early in the third round. So
I have Dane Brugler's top 100 pulled up. I think he's the best of the best. I think Brugler's draft guide is really well done, and I really respect him. He had, Justin said this, I think, earlier, Mims 19th on his big board. And he had Jenkins 36. Roman Wilson, if he is the Bengals pick, he's number 41 on his big board. So that would be a great value pick if he lasts till 80. But there's a lot of great players. Justin, what do you think of Jalen Wright from Tennessee potentially? Maybe at 97.
Yeah, big play receiver. That would be a really nice get.
Well, you got a couple running backs still there. You got Estime. You have Will Shipley. Again, you talked about Cooper Beebe.
Yeah.
Receivers, Javon Baker, Troy Franklin. Interesting name, Brendan Rice. Still available. Obviously his father, his father, not a Bengal favorite for sure, but, and then, Jalen McMillan, I know he's a guy that was talked about, right? The receiver.
That was another name I almost mentioned there. Jalen McMillan from Washington.
What a talented group of Washington receivers, right, guys?
They had their trio. You're absolutely right. I picked Polk in the second round when I was reading up on him. Dane Brugler mentioned that in that offense, he was the 50-50 receiver guy. Polk was the one that went out and was getting that 50-50 ball. And I just, you know, with Adunze and him and McMillan, they had a hell of a trio. Cooper Beebe on the Dane Brugler big board is 38. Ranked 38, so that would be unbelievable value. I'm all for it. Either him or Wilson at 80 would be amazing. And if the other one lasted to 97, how could you be mad at this draft?
Well, you know, and again, I look at, and you guys know how I am about these skill players, but I love them. And I look at this receiving group right now, and I just don't see the Bengals going 80 with any of these guys. If a guy like Cooper Beebe falls to 80, I mean, I think you have to jump on that, right? I mean, at this point,
Caden Wallace just went from Penn State.
Who did?
Caden Wallace.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the offensive tackle, right?
Yeah, Bill Belichick must have got on the horn and made that pick for him.
Well, what do you guys think about where I'm going with this Cooper Beebe thing? Because again, you know, Volson has had his ups and downs. I still think he is the guy, but what do you think about if Cooper Beebe makes it to 80? I mean, you got to jump on that, right? If you're the Bengals, what do you think?
I think so, because you're talking about a guy who, if BB is the pick here at 80, he will threaten some jobs, and that could be left guard, that could be right guard, that could be center. Kappa is probably the safest of that group, but BB will come in and he will push some people and make things uncomfortable on the interior of that offensive line, and he would be more likely to get on the field early in the season than Mims. Not that I'm trying to, you know, criticize the Mims pick too much, but BB is more of a threat to play in year one than Mims would be.
Somebody, I don't know if you saw this, Duke Tobin spoke, and they were asking about Bengals trading up, and he said, of course we try. He goes, but right now I'd rather have 10 dimes than four quarters. So he wants to keep his draft picks.
Interesting, right? I mean, that's something I really, and even some of the other people we've talked to, Mon, didn't really think the Bengals would keep all 10. But now it looks like that might be the case, which, again, would be crazy if they did. Let me ask you guys this. Do you think the Bengals go running back today? I mean, they got two picks left. You see, obviously you got Jalen Wright, and then Estime and Will Shipley. I mean, are those guys that you could see going in this round? I don't know.
I see the Bengals picking a running back. Probably not until tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I probably have to agree with that too. Yeah, I don't see that being the case.
If Benson had fallen to 80, I think 100% you would have strongly considered that. And he did fall into the third round, but he got snapped up by the Cardinals. So, if a Jonathan Brooks had dropped, but yeah, I think now you're probably looking more at fifth, sixth round for a running back.
Yeah. Which again is okay, right? I mean, you know, the Bengals have two guys they feel very good about.
Yeah, it's not like it's a huge need. If there had been a guy who you could get a really good value with somewhere in the draft, then absolutely. But it wasn't a huge need. And so I think.
And really, really, Justin, like Justin, when you were talking about earlier with Tavondre Sweat, he was really that top tier nose tackle guy that the Bengals were looking to fill that position. And really, Trey Benson, the top tier running back, that bruiser type of guy that gets you the tough yards. You know, the Bengals have two guys right now that are kind of elusive, more electric type of running backs. Again, you know, that's my way with agreeing with you two, is Trey Benson was like kind of that back the Bengals needed. And now, like, him and Tavondre Sweat both gone, you know, it doesn't make sense to reach at one of those positions. Allen, yes, Stranger Four says Allen is still available.
The big running back from Wisconsin, Braham.
The big running back from Wisconsin. So yeah, I guess he's still out there. You know, that might be interesting to see.
Yeah,
go ahead, Mom.
Sorry, Jake. The mold I would like. I think Moss and Chase Brown are about 200, 205 pounds. It would be nice to get a running back if they do draft one, 215, 225 in that range. You know, if they needed a third and one, fourth and one, not that the Bengals have been good at that, it'd be good to have a bigger running back. And if they did get one, I'd like to get one maybe 220 pounds.
Yeah, that was the nice thing about Benson is he's like, I want to say 218. 19 somewhere in there, but also ran a 4.39. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. You get a bigger back that maybe he's your third down specialist, but also has the ability to break that long run as well. Oh, there goes Phillips.
There goes my guy. Just pulling up. There you go.
All right. So Phillips gone, the corner from Kentucky. Where does he go?
Giants.
Giants. Well, that's another corner off the board. TJ, is TJ Tampa still sitting there?
Tampa's still there, yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, we're eight picks away now? No, nine picks.
Nine picks away.
And, yeah, you're starting to look at the players out there. You still got BB. You still got Wilson. You still got who else?
We talked about the
other wide receiver from Washington.
Yeah, McMillan. You got Baker. You got Franklin still.
I don't think Baker's going to be in the mix here.
Do me a favor, Jake. Give me two or three that you want at 80. Let's just go around the room and do that. Give me three from eight that you want at 80.
Well, I just don't believe BB will fall to 80. Obviously, I like BB a lot. I had him mocked in the second round on our last mock draft. So I love to see BB there. I would love to see McMillan there. And I feel like if those two guys are there, the Bengals have something to work with. And, you know, the receiver from Michigan. Again, I think one of those three guys go to the Bengals at 80 and we're cooking, obviously BB being the best value of the three.
I hear you. I like to have Wilson, the wide receiver. BB, obviously that's a no brainer. I would love to see BB there. He's still available. We're eight away. I know we've already got defensive linemen, but if we're going to go BPA, I think somebody potentially like a Mason Smith, the Bengals brought him in for a visit. Is he gone?
Okay. He went the pick before. He was taken right before Chris Jenkins.
Okay, what about TJ Tampa? There's some good Sanders, the tight end from Texas.
He's still on the board.
Yeah, he's highly regarded. Dane Brugler has him in the top 60. So there's a lot of good players there. They're gonna get a really good player at 80. Right now it's between Wilson and BB. If BB is there, I think they should jump on him and get him because he'll be a long-term starter.
I agree. Well, how about you, Justin? What three guys would you like to see? Wait, before you say that.
Donovan Kennedy, don't say that.
Donovan, but Donovan's right. Donovan Kennedy is right. The Raiders, the thorn in the Bengals' side in this year's draft. he said, watch them steal BB. I agree, Donovan. They
Marvin
have been
Lewis sticking it to us. Marvin Lewis sticking it to us. Justin, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
I'm pretty much with you guys in terms of names. I'm trying to see if there's anyone else that's jumping out at me. You've named a lot of.
Has he been picked?
Isaac?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, from Kent State, he was.
I don't think so.
Mel's tops,
and he run like in the 4.4s.
Yeah.
Yeah,
guys. I mean, listen, this is still BPA range all the way. I mean, it might be a position that the Bengals are pretty stocked at, but if it's we don't want to reach for guys here. If somebody is, they have a high, a grade on a second round grade, they're going to take them. The teams that don't do that are the teams that get in trouble.
I agree, overzealous. I think we just talked about that, didn't we, guys? That right now we are at a point where there's no reason to trade up, right? I mean, there's nobody I don't think that's sitting there right now that just has that feeling of we got to go up and get them.
I guess what he's saying is if you did want to move up, it would cost you mental peanuts to move up. So
yeah. It could be. Stranger 4 asked about Stover. What do you guys think about the tight end, Stover?
Ohio State. I mean, if there's a run on some of these guys we're talking about, then maybe. But I mean, right now you still got Sanders on the board and Theo Johnson. So I don't know why you'd look Fisher here.
Yeah, and the kid from Florida State, Bell. A little later, probably for him.
Yeah, that's a like fourth rounder. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see with this, I'm not trying to speak it into existence, but it is going to be interesting to see if BB does end up falling to the Bengals. That would be kind of an interesting situation for the Bengals and if they would go there. Let me ask you guys this, because a position we have not talked about yet is linebacker. What about Peyton Wilson?
He's been picked, hasn't he?
No, and I've already. No. I just sent him a few weeks ago or a few minutes ago. Yes, 100%. If he's there,
that'd be a
Kamara guy. From Colorado State. Is that a name you mentioned?
I was. Yeah.
So Peyton Wilson is now he's still available. Peyton Wilson is so the thing I like about Wilson is you're talking about a extremely athletic linebacker who has some length. Curious if maybe you can utilize him in sort of a multi-purpose role, maybe get some pass rushing snaps out of him as well. But talking about a guy who was uber productive in Raleigh, put up tons of numbers tackle wise. I mean, really the only downside I see with Wilson is he's 24. So
He's kind of a little old in the tooth there. But any other linebackers though, Justin, besides Peyton Wilson that. Maybe you like there, or there's still a couple edge guys.
Yeah,
You talked about Isaac. I think Booker is Booker still there?
I believe so. I haven't seen that name.
So there's a couple of highly rated edge rushers I think that are still sitting there as well. So any other linebackers or edge rushers you guys can think of? I mean, at this point, again, we are kind of at best player available. So I agree with you, Mon.
About him. Well, there's a lot of good players on here.
Oh, Trevin Wallace just went. Kentucky linebacker.
Yes. Wilson did have some injury issues. Maybe that's why he's dropping a little bit. Guys, I'm telling you, I really want BB at 80. I think BB, unbelievable value if that happens.
So another name I'm seeing, let's take a look maybe at him as well, because we could see BB go in the next, seven picks. But another really highly touted guard that we haven't really talked as much about, but is kind of in that same conversation and rank, is Christian Hayes out of UConn, who is also available.
Yeah. Tyler Baker just said he went to the Cowboys. Tyler, who are you speaking of? I don't have the draft on, so I don't know what's going on. Tyler, who are you speaking of that just went to the Cowboys? He said he just went to the Cowboys, so maybe somebody we're talking about, maybe Peyton Wilson. I'm not sure who Tyler. Oh, BB drafted by the Cowboys. Thank you, Tyler, for that update. I'm not watching the draft. I don't
want to thank you because I'm upset, but all good. No, thanks, yes, Tyler.
Well, thank you for letting us know for sure. We keep talking about them. So BB gone to the Cowboys. Again, you know, we are getting closer and closer now to this pick. Names coming off the board very quickly. But still a lot of guys sitting there for the Bengals, you know, that kind of fit best player available type of thing. Stranger Four didn't want to say about Stover. He said he didn't want to take him at 80, but is he a guy that you guys maybe see fit the Bengals scheme that maybe, you know, maybe, I don't know, day three, if Stover's still sitting around, is that a tight end you think that maybe fits what the Bengals want?
It is, you know, Ohio State, in-state, Mike Brown, Ohio State, you know, fan big time. Out of all the tight ends, he's probably my least favorite one. I mean, I would much rather consider the Eric All kid from Iowa, or I like the tight end from Florida State. I think, you know, he's pretty athletic. He's 6'2", 240. I just think he would give us a little more to offer. Let's put it that way. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out here some people coming up. I tell you what, Dominic Pooney, who's a tackle at Kansas, athletic score was really good.
It was 8.16. So BB was actually a 9.28. Very good. But Christian Hayes, 9.31 RAS score. Wow. So, yeah.
We got some choice. Dominic Pooney is 56 on the big board. So, you know, if they went that route, that'd be good value according to Brugler. But we'll see. It's coming up in probably the next 20 minutes. Probably next 20 minutes we'll have it.
Well, I don't know right now at this point. What'd you say, Justin? What happened?
Trice just went to defensive the Falcons.
Yeah. Oh, the Trice, the other, that's the other edge rusher. I was trying to think of his name. Yeah. So he just goes. Go ahead, Justin. What were you going to say?
No, the another one that Mon just mentioned, Booker from Kansas, that he's a kind of intriguing edge.
Oh, yeah. The Booker guy. Yeah. The Booker from
Kansas.
Kansas, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's another edge guy. I think he's still available as well. I don't know. I don't know, Mon. I think at this point, with BB off the board, I think now the Bengals maybe turn their attention to wide receiver for sure. You know, BB was kind of that – he was that value pick, like Justin said. It would be a great pick there. But now with BB off the board – I don't see the Bengals going trench here. I think it's corner or receiver. I really do. I think that's the pick.
It's probably going to be Roman Wilson. I just Jay Morrison and Dana are tight end, and they talked about him like the last three podcasts. And I think Jay Morrison actually had him as a second round pick for the Bengals. I think there it's going to be the guy. Or you know what? Could be Tampa too. We forgot about TJ Tampa.
Yeah, Overzealous said they will take Tampa, a guy that we've talked about. I just see this pick being corner or receiver. Let's say the Bengals go receiver. Roger said, please not Wilson. Yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of down on Wilson. And I think it would be kind of a reach right at this point for the Bengals. I mean, you do have Akeem Davis-Gaither back for another year. Obviously, Logan and Jermaine are the stay put linebackers in this defense for the next 3 or 4 years. I just don't see the Bengals using this third round pick on a linebacker. But you never know. Go ahead, Mom.
On the Roman Wilson potential pick, Brugler had him eighth, and he had Pearsall ninth. Roman Wilson ran a 4.39 40.
Okay.
He is on the smaller side. He's a slot receiver, but he can stretch the field. You have to admit this. The Bengals really only have one wide receiver that can stretch the field. That's Chase. Higgins is a matchup nightmare. He's big, you know, and he has sneaky speed, but he's not a burner. Yoshivas has fast speed, is fast 40, but takes him a while to get there. It would be good to get a Roman Wilson. He's an absolute burner. I don't know. I know Michigan had the quarterback that was drafted in the first round, but they didn't really throw a lot under Harbaugh. So,
They didn't have to. They had Edwards and Corum. They just gashed guys.
Yeah. I mean, he has 107 career receptions at Michigan. So yeah. It's not
16
like,
yards a catch, though, 20 touchdowns. So those are nice numbers. That's a nice, that'd be a really nice get. And I agree with Mon. You got to get a little more speed in the wide receiving core. I would not say that has to be the guy for me, but he definitely would be top three or four at this point as we're looking ahead.
Well, what about McMillan? I mean, again, you know, is that a guy that fits what the Bengals need? I mean, obviously, I'll say this. I wanted to ask you this, too, because this is something I've thought about here throughout the afternoon is, you know, with the pick of Mims, do you think the Bengals feel good about T. Higgins' situation? I mean, or do you think that has nothing to do with the Bengals not drafting maybe a Brian Thomas there in the first round? Do they feel good about the T. Higgins situation, or you think it's still kind of an explosive situation?
I just simply think when it came to 18, I think Mims – with just head and shoulders rated above Thomas. Mm-hmm. You know, with T. Higgins, he's franchised, and they can franchise him next year for 26, and don't be surprised if they do that. He can be a Bengal for two more years, making $48 million. Thomas is an athletic specimen, but you know, if you read up some of his profiles, especially on the Athletic here, he's got a lot of work to do too. I mean, he's a fast guy, and his route tree really wasn't that sophisticated. He's got some learning to do. Let's put it that way. But
let's another receiver, Mon, that we didn't talk about. I want to get to this before we get to our pick. Is this Troy Franklin a very interesting prospect here, guys? In 2023, had 81 receptions for Oregon. 1,383 yards and 14 touchdowns, averaged 17.1 yards per catch, 6'3", about 190. Troy Franklin, I don't know, guys. That seems like a good look there, a guy that obviously can stretch the field and, you know, you don't catch 81 balls on go route. So, obviously, sounds like a pretty solid route runner as well. Troy Franklin, what do you guys think? Oregon receiver.
He would be behind. I think he'd be behind Wilson and McMillan for me, but I mean, definitely an option there.
4.4 40. I'm reading this right now. He's
176.
Yeah, I know. He's combine. He's really frail. He's six. Is he almost 6'3"? 6'3",
190.
6'2" and change. He was actually under 6'2" at the combine, but 6'2" and a half at his pro day. So I guess they, you know,
they must have stretched that. He must have been wearing those the high heel shoes too.
Yeah, and he walked out in underwear that's loaded in water because he put on 7 pounds.
What do you think?
He weighed 176 at the combine. He's 183 at the pro day. Either that, he had a lot of Kim's donuts from Titusville. I would rather have Roman Wilson. I really would. I'd rather have him.
McMillan, I'm with you, Mon, but it'd be really close. McMillan, for being much a 200-pound receiver, a lot bigger than Wilson. He's in the 4.4 range as well. So,
oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, so 4.47, I think. So, yeah, I mean, I'm good with either of those. Wilson gives you more speed, and McMillan gives you more size. So.
Yeah, and the one drawback on Wilson, that's not typical Bengal receiver. They like bigger guys. Tyler Boyd was 6'2". So we'll see. We'll see. It's coming up
and
soon.
Jalen McMillan, real quick, guys, just so you know, we're comparing. I'm pulling up his stats right now, but McMillan on the season, 45 receptions, about 600 yards and 5 touchdowns. But again, you know, sharing the field with two other very talented wide receivers.
Who have already went.
Yeah, who have already went, right? Yeah. So, you know, again, doesn't mean that McMillan can't be more productive in the NFL, but I don't know. I think Troy Franklin, I think McMillan, I think Wilson. I mean, I think all these guys, it's hard to say at this point how good these guys are going to translate, how good their game is going to translate to the NFL. McMillan, did you say his size already, Justin?
6'1", 197.
6'1". So again, you know, a bigger receiver as well in McMillan. So I don't know. Going to be interesting. Where are we at right now? What pick are we on?
76. Denver Broncos just took Jonah Ellis out of Utah.
You liked him. You were talking about him.
Because of shit like that.
Yeah, it gets later. Hey, TJ Tampa is still on the board also. I think that's a name to consider at 80. Okay. I'm just reading up his profile here. He's not the fastest guy, about a 4.5 40.
But good size.
Yeah, good size. And Brugler gives him a good write-up, very disruptive, has the potential to be a starting perimeter quarterback in the NFL. You can never have enough corners, never, ever. Cornerback four, I know people don't like talking about this, but I think the last 5 years they play over 500 snaps for the Bengals. So you need more people back. Yeah. You do. And is Dax Hill going to become the next corner? I don't know, but – we're getting there. We're getting there.
Well, Matt, we appreciate the kind words, Matt. Thank you. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking, and we're still three picks away, but you've got a couple options on the O-line.
Thank you, Matt.
You've got three good options at receiver. You've got a couple good options at corner. You got a couple good edge rushers still. They're going to have options at multiple positions. So they're going to have – they're going to have a nice pick of nice options to choose from here.
Guys, I don't work for The Athletic. I want you guys to know that I don't. But his draft guide is a must for people that follow the draft. You have to get it. Continue.
All right. Delmar Glaze. So we had another offensive tackle go. Yeah. You look at these last 10 picks. They've been really positive for the Bengals in terms of keeping – prospects at positions they need on the board.
Buddy, we're going to get
– other than BB.
We're going to get one hell of a player. Yeah. Hey, guys, listen, people, we got 341 people right now watching. Who do you want at 80? Let us know. Let us know.
Let us know. Let us know who you want at 80.
I want Tampa or Wilson. That's who I want. Let us know who you want.
Yeah. You want a long snapper at 80? Let us know.
Yeah.
So Tampa – so Iman, you're going with Tampa or Wilson. Is that correct?
I am. Yes, I am.
All right, we'll see again as we get closer. What pick are we on, guys? We're on 78.
And the Philadelphia Eagles just traded the 78th pick to the Houston Texans.
Oh, they're about to screw us, man.
Nah.
I'll give you a third name. I'm going to give you a third name. Dominic Pooney from Kansas, offensive lineman.
This is a kid. This is children.
I think we had like 4 hours sleep after last night.
Yes, I did not get a lot of sleep last night.
Yeah, I almost called Circle of Care to come to your house for counseling.
That's what I told my wife.
Problem with last night, let me stick up for you a little bit. I think you were so enamored with Bowers, and I think I don't care who the Bengals picked at 18. It could have been a Ray Lewis in his prime as a rookie, you would have been mad because you wanted Bowers so bad.
Or Thomas.
Well, I did want Bowers, but more than anything, again, I don't want to get into it again, but I want to see these offensive linemen end up being good football players for the Bengals. We spend quality picks on them, and you know, you expect them to be productive NFL players.
Well, I tell you what, I understand the frustration. And like we said over and over, we got to keep on trying. But the heat is really on Pollock.
It's got to be.
It's the heat's on.
It's got to be.
We'll see how it goes.
So I'm Jake. You had a, I think you had a good point last night.
Thank you.
In terms of, we want this first round pick to be an impact player who's going to get 500 snaps. Maybe not necessarily a starter, because for instance, if it had been the D tackle from Texas,
Murphy,
he would have. I would have been very excited.
Yeah, he might not have been a starter, but you know he's going to play a lot of snaps.
Yes,
and he's going to make an impact.
If you listen to all the beat writers, they pretty much told you he was going to be the pick.
Yeah,
Murphy was going to be the pick at 18.
It
really sounds like it. You know, it didn't work out that way, but obviously the Bengals were very excited with Mims. And listen, man, I'm rooting for him, man. We're Bengal fans, and the last thing we want is our pick 18 to be a bad pick. We want him to succeed, and I think he will. I think he will.
Do you think the Mims situation? And I'm with you. Obviously, I'm probably the biggest Bengal homer you will ever see. I'm going to root for this team no matter what. I'm going to root for this team no matter who they choose. But obviously, you know. You want to see an impactful player, Justin. You're 100% right. Do you think that Mims thing too? I mean, obviously the report is
we're on deck.
The report after last night, very strong sources that the Pittsburgh Steelers wanted Mims. Is this another William Jackson situation, or what was the running back, Devin Bush, that we wanted that they traded up above us to get? Is this another Bengals Steeler draft situation where the Bengals try to one up the Steelers? What do you think?
It kind of feels like it, because and that seems to be like a running gag with us Steelers. Yeah. Is that there's always one of us trying to upstage the other. But at the end of the day, you got to get a guy that works for you and works for you, your team, your organization, your squad, and going back to the Mims thing, I even said that I think when we were talking about those four or five guys we thought were going to be there at 18, you guys asked me who I wanted the least. I said Mims. But
We all did. We all did, including Mom. Yes.
Yeah. And that said, and he was, and I still feel that way. But I don't think it was a horrible pick at all. I don't think we made like some sort of horrible reach. There were lots of picks in round one that really, so Kalen Bullock was the guy the Texans came up for. Ooh, so
safety from USC. Nice. Yeah, he's a big tall guy, right?
And real quick, Justin, I want you to finish your thought real quick though. The Colts just trade up one pick ahead of us. Is this Roman Wilson? That's what the thought is right now. Is this Roman Wilson? The Colts trade one pick up to jump the Bengals. They were at 82. They jump us to get to 79.
They need skill players.
Go ahead, Justin. Finish your thought real quick on Mims. What were you saying?
So I don't think they made some sort of huge reach like the Broncos with Bo Nix or anything crazy like that. I think they got a guy who – They were able to buy low and get a player who, like we talked about earlier, with another year at Georgia, might very well have been a top five, top 10 pick. So let's hope that they are able to maximize the potential there with Amarius Mims. And if they can, and if he does reach the ability, if he does play to the level of a physical ability he has, you're talking about someone who's even better than J.C. Latham, who I think is a guy we all would have been pretty ecstatic with had we the Bengals landed him.
Well, and really on a lot of the big boards, Mims was ahead of Latham, which, you know, for one reason or another, maybe it's just the measurables, but Mims was ahead of Latham on a lot of big boards. Yes, James, exactly. I am with you, James, 110% that is the case for sure. We're going to pull for them no matter what. All right.
Another offensive tackle.
Good.
So there you go.
Good.
So the Colts take a tackle. And now, gentlemen, we are on the board. Do we know who it is yet?
We do not. We got a lot of people. Zim wants an offensive lineman right now. He wants another interior offensive lineman.
Maybe Hayes.
That's who he wants. Now, he hasn't said anything.
It might be a little early for the Wisconsin center, but
well, here we go. We're on the clock. I am checking my phone furiously to see if let's see here.
The pick is in.
Oh, it's a receiver.
Who is it? Tell us.
Jermaine Burton, Alabama.
Ooh.
Okay. Jermaine Burton from Alabama, wide receiver. And you know what? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, somebody in our chat was talking about Burton. And I'm going to find out who it was. And give them a shout out. Let me see. Oh, Les Hernandez at 10:05 p.m. tonight in the chat says, guys, what about wide receiver Burton? He is now a Bengal. Les Hernandez, great job. Great job, Les, on the call there with Burton, a guy that, guys, we did not talk about Burton, the wide receiver from Alabama. What are they saying about him, guys? Again, I don't have the draft on.
We did mention him earlier.
We talked about him being a little bit of a
He has a character concerns, but he is an elite athlete.
9.09 RAS score, a little over 6 foot, 196 pounds, ran a 4.45 at the combine, 38-inch vertical, big hands, 10-inch hands. So, which
yeah, you guys, you're right. You are right. You did mention Burton. I apologize. I remember that now too.
He led the SEC this year in yards per reception with 20.5, 39 receptions for almost 800 yards and 8 touchdowns.
4.45, 40. Underperformed in college. Has some maturing to do. NFL level athleticism and ball skills, which makes him worth the gamble on draft weekend. He's a better pro than college player if he stays focused. That's per Brugler.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think in terms of upside, this is a better – I think the floor is lower, but the upside is higher for Burton over guys like Wilson and McMillan and Franklin.
Well, you know, again, 6 foot, 194. Like you said, Mon, almost 800 yards receiving. I mean, 20.5 yards per catch. And the SEC. And again, I think we can all agree, guys, that this Alabama team, not up to par this year. Quarterback play, not great. I mean, you know, I would say average quarterback play.
Well, the quarterback play was good, but Milrow definitely isn't the guy who's going to slice and dice you like the quarterbacks we saw in the first half of the first round.
Guys, he transferred from Georgia, so he's been in the SEC his whole career.
Yeah, we already mentioned that.
People are asking right here. Give us some more info. I haven't heard. And so, but I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Listen, they just showed the Bengal War Room, and the guy that was the most excited – he was jumping up, high-fiving, was Darren Simmons. Does he have a background in special teams? Is he a punt returner?
Not that I recall.
I don't see any punt return stats. I just see receiving stats. Again, we said the stats in 23 and 22, 40 receptions, almost 700 yards and 7 touchdowns. Seems like a big play guy. I don't see any punt return or kick return.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, like you guys said, 23 and 22, he played for Alabama, ended up with right around 1,500 total yards and 15 touchdowns in 2 seasons. He played for Georgia in 20 and 21, had right around 53 receptions for about 900 yards and 8 touchdowns at Georgia.
For his career, 132 receptions, almost 2,400 yards, 23 touchdowns, 18 yards per reception. That's extremely productive in the SEC.
That's pretty good, right? Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. It almost, seems like a productive guy wherever he goes. But as far as return yards go, that sort of thing, no kickoff returns. He did have one punt return for 14 yards. Again, no return touchdown. So I'm not sure what Darren is excited about, but who knows?
Bengal fans, go back and watch that on YouTube. He was very excited. But he was extra excited.
He's going to be our top gunner on the punt team.
Yeah.
T. Brookie says that TJ trained him. Is that true? TJ Houshmandzadeh, did he train him?
I'm reading his profile. It's not in his profile. Some of the weaknesses on him, slender body type.
He's 200 pounds. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds.
So he's saying he needs to get bigger, according to Brugler. And that's whatever he says counts.
Something just make up some of this crap, because I was reading yesterday about how 49ers fans won't be impressed with Ricky Pearsall's athleticism, and he had a 9.91 RAS score. So
but Brugler didn't say that, did he?
No.
Les Hernandez. We just gave you a shout out. We just gave you a shout out about 5 minutes ago for talking about Burton. Yes, Les, we gave you a shout out already, but James, great job on the Burton call. What are you going to say?
He will be our slot receiver, James. I think he will be.
Yeah, I think I think like Pearsall, you're talking in terms of Burton about a guy who can do both. He'll play some slot, but you can also put him on the perimeter. He is definitely a guy who can fit in multiple wide receiver positions.
Yeah. Stranger Four says, can Burton return kicks? I mean, I'm guessing with that speed and size, he can. I don't see why not.
That's not his forte, no.
No, it's
but
not.
But not his forte at all.
We're entering a new era of NFL football with this modified kickoff return. Yeah. So I think teams are going to have 3, 4, 5, 6 guys that they're going to try to potentially make kick returners, because you're going to see a lot more kick returns in the NFL. So I don't know if he could be one of those guys. I'm happy.
Christian Haynes just went.
Eagles won't pick for another hour or so.
Yeah, probably wouldn't. But yes, Les, we got you, bud. Good job again on the Burton call.
So we're gonna do a wrap up show Sunday night, correct? 7:30.
We are gonna wrap this thing up, guys. Make sure you join us on Sunday. I will send out the time once we figure that out. But we are gonna do a wrap up draft show. Please check it out. Make sure you guys join us on Sunday. We are going to cover the entire Bengals draft this weekend, talk about all the picks, what we liked, what we didn't like. So make sure you guys join us on Sunday night. I'm guessing it will be right around 7:30, Mon, like normal. But we will get that information out to you guys on our Twitter pages. So make sure you check that out. As always, guys, if you like this podcast, make sure you like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you check us out on all the awesome podcast platforms, Apple, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you like this podcast, make sure you give us that 5-star review. We very much appreciate that. Guys, make sure you check out Mon on Twitter at TheFireMon. Check out me on Twitter at CoachJakeOwens9. Eric on Twitter at eFlash with 2 H's, 88. Justin on Twitter at Justin L. Wells. The Wednesday Podcast Network on Twitter at Wednesday Pod. And as always, guys, make sure you check out the Bengals Pulse on Twitter and give us a follow at Bengals_Pulse9 on Instagram. The same without the at Bengals_Pulse9. As always, guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We love you all. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you tune in on Sunday again for the post-draft wrap-up show right here on the Bengals Pulse. He is Justin. He is Mon. I am Jake. Hooday, guys. See you guys. We will see you guys on Sunday. Have a good weekend.
Take care. Thanks, guys.
That's pretty impressive, that.